You're listening to A Midlife Less Ordinary, the weekly podcast giving you the lowdown on becoming a cool older dude. The good times are not a faded memory. It's time to start living them again. And here are your hosts, Wayne and Trev.
Yeah, hello everyone. Welcome back to A Midlife Less Ordinary Season 2. And this is Episode 2 of the second season. And we are talking today about riding motorbikes. And our subtitle is Show Us Your Helmet. Now, Trev's here as always.
Get your motor running.
Ooh.
Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure.
In whatever comes our way. Right, that's enough of that. Thanks for that, Trev.
As soon as we were doing motorbikes, I just needed to do that. I just needed to get it out there. I could feel it.
He's been waiting for 12 episodes.
I was actually doing the kind of revving with my hands as well. I was doing revving with my hands. Me might have been saying different.
So you're looking forward to talking about motorbikes with guest John?
Yeah, very much so. Just basic. Because I look like a biker, so I need to know a bit more information about it, really.
It's an interesting subject, Trev.
It is. I know you've got a bike, haven't you?
I've got a bike. Hopefully we'll talk about it in the podcast a little bit. I love the motorbiking lifestyle. It's a friendly lifestyle, a bit like when you're in a car, the only sort of hand gesture you get is basically a middle finger. that's true. Exactly. But in a motorbike, everyone goes past there, waving at you while they're heading towards a bush somewhere. You know, it's that kind of friendly lifestyle.
There's a lot of sort of subcultures that do that, isn't there?
Yes.
You know, when I
boats
go running,
do as well. Boaters.
Yeah.
Running boats, do it. Yeah.
Volkswagen drivers do.
Do they?
Volkswagen.
Oh, so not all cars are arses.
Do the thumb thing, don't they?
Yeah.
They put the sort of thumb and their little finger up.
I certainly say
lifestyle. Yeah.
It's definitely a midlife kind of thing as well, you know, affording these kind of expensive machines and meeting up with your mates for a bacon sandwich somewhere and talking about engines.
Yeah, I think the Volkswagen thing is the surfing thing, the hang loose.
Yeah,
thing,
of course,
it?
The Devon that's kind of lifestyle.
But
yeah,
saying that basically that's the same as running. If you run past another jogger, they, you know, majority of them always put their hands up. You know, you wave at them. It's, you know, same as the beard thing. You know, yeah, it's good that there's a little kind of respect there. I think I like that.
No, it's nice. Yeah, definitely. I enjoy that part of it. It just gives me faith in the human race, if believe it or
basically,
not.
Basically, yeah, I think that is. Yeah.
But we welcome another guest this week as part of our new season, and the guest is John Bartlett. He's had a motorbike school in the past, so he knows all about getting you through your training and everything. I believe he's had a few motorcycle adventures. I think we'll pick up a lot from this trip.
I think we will.
Well, let's get straight into the interview. As I say, this one is riding motorbikes. Show us your helmet. I had to say that twice. Enjoy. So, John, thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
We've got a few questions for you, and I'd like to kick it off by basically asking, how did you come about getting into motorcycles? What brought up your love for it?
To be honest, it was from childhood, knocking around on the estate we grew up on there. For those of people who know, at the ambulance estate down in Southend with different mates. And it was a matter of anything that with an engine that ran, you had to try and ride it. And and that's where it really started, whether it was an old moped or an old motorcycle across the fields. And that's how I got into it. And I got sort of, what I'd say, addicted since then. It's a long, long time. It's for those of you like Wayne yourself, I know you ride, and it's a real addiction, and it gets in your blood, and it stays with you. Even the times that you don't own a motorcycle, I think it still stays there.
Yeah, definitely. Go on, Trev. Yeah,
John, do you think when you were younger, was it the adrenaline of it that pulled you in?
It's everything. Yeah, when I was young, I was influenced by a lot of things, really, because obviously I was into the heavy rock stuff, so I really loved the films like Easy Rider, and I really wanted the Harleys when I was younger. But I realised very, very quickly that the thing is, they were very, very expensive and out of my price range. So I actually went over to the sports bikes. Then you get the addiction of, with the sports bikes, you get the sheer adrenaline rush of riding a sports bike, whether it being on the road or preferably on the track. So it took me two different streets, really. And then later on, I came back to, like, I ride now Harleys, and I've been riding the last 20 years. But Yeah, I mean, anything. Right. I appreciate anything really with two wheels and an engine.
So yeah, John, you
didn't kind of, you didn't, sorry. You...
Go on, Trev.
Go on, Wayne, sorry.
No, I was just going to say,
you didn't get into the sport side of it, John. Kind of motocross and stuff, that weren't your deal.
No, I weren't a motocross rider. We bummed about as kids across the fields on anything that went, but I was a road rider and solely a road rider, completely different style. So, I was solely into the road bikes and the road riding side of things and have been ever since.
What do you ride now, John? Right. You said a Harley.
Yeah. The latest bike I've got is a Harley Breakout 114
cube. That's about a 1900cc, something like that?
It's just shy of 1900cc. Yeah, it's a big old labouring, they call them tractors really, don't they?
Yeah.
Tractor. But it moves all right and it weighs about as much as a truck.
That must weigh about 300 kilos, something like that. It must be, mustn't it?
I'm going to say something here. This is like
controversial.
From a completely educated bike, sort of bloke that doesn't know a lot about it. Would that be a panhead? Does that make me sound like I know a bit? Something like that.
Does that say that again? Sorry, I misheard that.
He said, is it a panhead?
No, it's not. No, that's you trying to be clever, Trevor, isn't it? Yeah. That ain't going to fly, mate. I'm afraid.
It's got you sussed, Trev. It's got you sussed.
Yeah, no. But going back through the heritage of Harleys, there's all different. There's a knuckle, there's a pan, there's a shovel, which are the older engines. You're building up from very early on right to modern day stuff. The modern day stuff is really based on it, but it's moved on a bit.
But you've gone the same kind of route as me, John. You've gone kind of sports bike, obviously, for the adrenaline when you're younger and your quicker reactions. And then now, I mean, to be fair, my one can't decide if it's a Panigale or a Harley Davidson, but it's both. But it is a cruiser.
What bike have you got again?
Well, mine's a Ducati XDR. It's a cruiser, but it's got the engine of like a Panigale, so it's a bit weird.
It has, yeah. But it's got some serious grunt.
It's a very well engineered cruiser, but it's a techno cruiser, so it's not the Harley Davidson is the epitome of cruisers. It's got that American, high road feel. Yep.
When you said techno cruiser, does it play like...
No, it doesn't play scooter and music like that. Out of it. It plays the Italian national anthem when you pull up. As I've got older, being comfortable is very important. When I'm on my other... I've got a Ducati 748 as well, an original one. Yeah. And when I'm on that, I can't... My knees just kill me. On the cruiser, my feet forward, it's like sitting in an armchair. It's just great. I can do miles.
Yeah. It is true. I get it. Strokes of folks with bikes, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you're right, Wayne. You said we went the same route. Same thing, sports bikes. I can't think of anything worse now than trussed up in a leather suit.
That sounds quite good.
Trevor, don't buy in here because I know he's going to say something.
I'm going to have to hint at this, I think, now. I don't have
a He just wants the suit, nothing else.
Your arse in the air and your hands on the floor. It's not comfortable anymore.
This just sounds like an average weekend for me. I don't see what the bike comes in.
Yeah.
I can even convince him that he needs a gimp mask under his helmet.
What made you take the training school thing? What was that?
Okay. Basically, it's one step further. If you've got a love of bikes, and which I obviously did have, the dream is to work with bikes in a way. And so I thought I got into motorcycle training. I like the idea of teaching. I got into that via another school, training school. And then I got the option or opportunity, should I say, to take my own training school. I have a business partner, and we ran it for 12 years. So I was in motorcycle training for 16 years in total. I ran quite a big school. So it was I enjoyed teaching. I was around bikes all day. Happy days, really.
What qualifications do you need to be in, John?
you need to be long suffering. you need to go, okay. When you go, you need some formal qualifications by the Driving Standards Agency, and you need to go up depending on what exactly you want to teach. So you have to, you get trained by a particular school or training scheme, then you go up to Cardington in Bedfordshire, and then you're assessed by examiners over different subject matters regarding training. And then if you pass those elements, you can then teach for various levels up to your full license, unrestricted big bikes on the road, direct access sort of stuff. So you can sort of can start off learning your craft a bit like an apprenticeship, really. And then after you get to the stage, you think, okay, I'm good enough now to put me under test conditions. You can go and take their rigorous tests up there. And if they say yes, then you've got your car to train.
Basically, where did you open your school, John?
Chelmsford. I had a big training school in Chelmsford. As you might or might not be aware, guys, I came from Southend originally. I don't live there anymore. I'm north side of Essex. I'm the other side of Braintree, out in the village out that way. But Chelmsford was the place because it was slap bang in the middle. And to be honest, it was pretty busy. And it was a busy school.
And that's where the driving school centres are based now as well, isn't it, Chelmsford, I believe?
Yeah, they were. I mean, eventually they actually moved to Basildon, the training, the test centres.
Oh, okay.
But originally, yeah, it was in Chelmsford. And Chelmsford, was, as you know, has always been a bit of a hub for Essex.
Yes.
And so it was a good area to set up. It was where the other training school was before I was there. So you had some sort of trade that already got reputation. So we went from there really with it.
Fantastic. Trev, sorry, you had
to... With the qualifications you've got, John, could you take them to another country and use them, or is it different standards for different countries?
It's different standards for different countries. I mean, I'll not be funny, England's is generally quite a high standard, and some of the other countries are, but you go to some of the places, I mean, not necessarily America, but some of the other places, and it's very, very different that you notice. I mean, some of the places, basically, if you can get on a ride up the road and back in without falling off, you've got your license. Where over here, it's very, very different.
Yeah,
over here it's very different. It's very thorough, which it needs to be, obviously. But so, I mean, technically, you couldn't take those qualifications. I'm sure I could take my training ability somewhere else and train in that country and find out what the standards are. But because, Wayne, once you can ride, you can ride. And if you know the format of teaching, then you take that whatever bike it is and whatever country you're in, really.
It's a lot of responsibility being an instructor on a motorcycle, because when you take people out for doing their direct access or something, on a large motorcycle, they've only ever rode a 125 and done a CBT, and they're riding on their own. You're just giving them instructions by microphone. So it's actually quite a lot of responsibility to make sure they get home at the end of the day.
By microphone.
Is that how it's done? Yeah, that's it. And that you're absolutely right, Wayne. You've got spot on. The thing is, with car instruction, it might be scary sitting next to someone in a car, but you've got dual controls if it's a professional car set up. But motorcycle, you're right. All you've got is your voice over the radio. So it's a big responsibility, and it can sometimes be a little bit scary as well. Yeah, so you have to be super confident, and you have to have pretty good voice control, because at the end of the day, you can't physically reach over and grab their bike, although sometimes you wish you could.
Without trying to make it put on a downer, John, have you ever not been responsible, but has anyone ever had an accident while you've been on duty with them?
Oh, I'm training. I mean, it's a little bit like the lottery. Eventually, the numbers come up because we trained, training school-wise, we were a big, big school and trained, I'm going to say, thousands rather than hundreds of people over the course of those years. So you can't do that without having, I mean, most of them are silly little things, thankfully, but you are, again, on two wheels, you are undertaking that, and it's you've got to realise there are apparent risks with that as well, that, things can happen, people make mistakes. Yeah, we've had silly little offs and people bumped and bruised mainly, because obviously if you're pretty good at your job, you keep most things under control. So 99% of the things you see are dropping the bike on themselves, bruising their leg, trapping their finger, that sort of thing. The silly little things generally, more so embarrassment than anything. I'll swear them when they get up.
We've all been
there. And they've done something wrong. And you're stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Does that all the time, embarrasses himself.
Are we just talking about in general or on motorcycles here, Trev? I'd like you to elaborate, right, please.
But to be honest, this podcast would be on for hours if I elaborate how you embarrass.
Oh God! Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Moving on. Next one, John. I've from talking to you before, and this is something I've never done, and I always wanted to, and now I feel like I'm not too old, because that sounds a bit dramatic. But I believe you've done a tour in America, or Route 66, which is something that is on my bucket list. Basically, can you tell us a bit about the experience?
Yeah, you're actually right. Back into you, and by the way, you're definitely not too old. Definitely not.
That's what we like to hear on this show.
if you're into bikes or even into that sort of style and scenery, it's one of the best things you can do. I cannot praise it enough. I did it. I took the long one. I did 3 weeks back in 2004. Started it in LA and it was a pre-organized thing. So I flew over there. The bikes were there. They were no older than 6 months old, the Harley Davidsons. I rode a Road King. It's a real luxury way of doing it. They carry a van, or they have a van, I should say, behind you carrying your luggage, and you ride to the next stop, sleep overnight, eat, and then ride on and ride round. And we did basically through the Rockies, back down the middle, back down to Death Valley, right in the middle of a little look at Death Valley. Why anybody wants to live there, I really don't know. that was seriously hot, as you can imagine. Came out and looped back round to the coast through Vegas, obviously. Then we looped back round to San Francisco and back up Pacific Coast Highway. Fantastic scenery, and what a way to do it. It was absolutely incredible. Honest to God, I can even replay it in my mind now. I must have took thousands of digital photos.
That's the way
or tried.
Be, isn't it?
Have you got some photos we could perhaps use on the for the website, John? When we put
I want to have a look, because I've got a disc somewhere, and I've got some of my photos now. But yeah, I will. I will have a look, and it was honestly, if you get the chance,
that would be
great.
It'll inspire me. I know that, and I'm sure it'll inspire a lot of people listening. Because I think that's a dream of a lot of people to do America. And
John, was it?
Yeah.
Go on, Trev.
Was it quite expensive to do, or was it?
It was quite expensive, but when you've got to look at it a little bit like supposedly a wedding, unless you're like me, you've had two. You've got to go look at it and go.
You've got to go again.
Okay. You've got to go. Look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it properly. I want this, as my wife would say, making memories. I want to take this with me. I want to do the best way I could. So yeah, I spent a few quid on it. In fact, funny enough, I had a couple of bikes then, and I actually sold one of my bikes to finance a trip, because I really wanted to do the longer trip. You could do shorter ones, but I thought in for a penny, in for a pound. I really wanted to do it, the 3-week one, which honestly was fantastic. And also, even if you don't ride, incidentally, Trevor, I took a mate of mine who didn't ride, and he went pillion, and he loved it as well. And that was actually really good, because he's got the video camera on and I'm riding, so I don't have to worry about it. So he does all the touristy bit while I can ride.
Well, funny enough, you saying that, John, we were talking about this earlier, funny enough, because Trevor and I were reminiscing about a time when we were both talking about I hadn't taken my test, even though I'd had bikes since I was 16.
We both got DI, didn't we?
Yeah, in our late 20s, I was like, Trevor hasn't got a license. I've got a car, but we can do it together. And Trevor was kind of up for it, but it didn't come about because of the danger, the ease. And I understand you feel like you don't want to put yourself at risk like that. And I understand, and I had experience, so it was a bit less worrying.
The thing is, I'm very clumsy as well,
But so the thing is, the day after I passed my test, I bought a 600cc motorbike and Trev's on the back of it. So it's not even more dangerous than actually doing it himself. I think we'd been out the night before. I don't know where that come from, but just maybe the irony of it. And the thing I'd be worried about
if we were risk takers,
and as you get older, that dissipates. But the thing I'd be worried about with comparing a motorbike and a marriage is the consummation of that would be. Well, actually, I wouldn't be worried. I think I like my bike that much. I don't know where this is going.
I think, to be honest, being a non-bike rider, I think I would rather do that trip than get married again.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Fair enough, definitely. I think that's question four coming up, Trev, I think. But
talking of like doing it when you're older, did you say if you hadn't ridden for like 20 years, John, and you were looking at it and thought, I could do that, I could really get into that again. When you get back on a bike, does your confidence go when you're a bit older? Are you a bit more skeptical?
Yeah, that's a $64,000 question, really, Trevor, because I think, like any of us, yeah. And no matter what you did, if you haven't done something, you've played a sport or you haven't done something for 20 years, particularly something that's inherently pretty dangerous, yeah. And it's got an element of danger to it, best thing to do by far is, to be honest, swallow your pride, and because that's what most people suffer with, isn't it? Swallow your pride, get on, and go and do a little short training course, even a day back on a bike with a school, just to refresh your memory. Most schools do it now, sort of called a back-to-biking course. It's a short course. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. And also, it will hone you, it will remind you of things that you should be doing. And when I've done them in the past, I found there's actually people that turn around and said to me, do you know what? I never knew that. I rode all those years and didn't realise. And so they pick things up. So that's the best way to do it because, again, everything moves on. Technology-wise and bike-wise, and Wayne will understand this because he's been riding years, the technology, the bikes, and the speed, performance, everything, it moves on. And if you haven't ridden for a while, your reactions slow down. You've got a bit more money to spend because you're middle-aged, hopefully, and so you can afford to do it. Take a little bit of training. It's the best money you'll spend. For a couple hundred quid, you'll go and buy it. You'll go and spend that on a little bit of kit.
Very good. Very good advice, John. That really is. That's the bit I don't get is how, to me, a bike is just two wheels and an engine. How can the technology advance?
What you want to, well, John's, sorry, John, if you don't mind me. Because Harley Davidson's are probably, what technology does a Harley have? Not too much, John, does it?
What change did you say?
What technology? It doesn't have all the belt. You're actually riding a Harley, aren't you?
It's the least they call them, don't they? Yeah. Harley Davidsons. They call them hardly rideables. I mean, it's tantamount. It's the tractor of the motorcycle world, isn't it?
That's part of the appeal, isn't it? It is part of the appeal.
The roughness, the agricultural feel. Even though, I'm not being funny, they've come on. If you jumped on, I know yours is pretty quick, your chatty, but yeah. If you jumped on my Harley, you would be really quite shocked because it's got a lot of grunt. From torque, from 0 to 60 mile an hour, you'll be surprised. Sports bikes are surprised. So the trouble is with that, that's okay, but you've got to stop the thing. And then obviously, there's a lot of weight in there. So the brakes have got better, even on the Harleys. I mean, there's fuel injection. It wasn't years ago.
Yeah.
My God, they've got ABS on them now. ABS on a Harley.
Well, John, I've got. I see you saying that about ABS. Obviously, that's a sort of nowadays we take that for granted, don't we? But what that can do for us as a safety, especially on a bike when it don't lock up. Obviously, when you, it's quite scary when it comes on though, because you feel with four wheels, you feel it in the brake pedal, don't you? But with two wheels, you actually feel the bike sort of shaking. But it's actually because it's not sliding. It's doing a better job. But my bike has. Cornering control, ABS, wheelie control, speed control, a launch control. I actually wonder what I'm actually doing on it sometimes, honestly. That's what it feels like. My other one hasn't got anything. It feels like a natural experience like your bike. Yeah. But I prefer having the technology now because obviously my reactions are a bit slower. So I would have a Harley. I love Harleys and the whole aura that surrounds them. But I just wanted one last throw, having something that suits comfort, but still had that sort of fun thrill factor that my Ducati had, the other one. So I get it. But you're right. It's a lot safer now to go out
the bike. The only thing I can get out of that is that I think I've got quite a bit of grunt, really. for a human. I want a bit of a run.
That's your normal demeanour.
Yeah, it should be my middle, really, grunt. Suit me down to the ground,
But so, sum it up what you're saying. What I notice is a lot as well. These premium motorcycles, like, I mean, these are very expensive machines, yours and mine. The funny thing about that is that the reason that we can afford these machines is because we're older. It's a bit of an irony there, because when I was 20 years old, I could only afford to buy, you know, a 10-year-old motorbike that didn't have all the bells and whistles. And then, really, you'd like to swap your life around a bit and add that technology when you was 20.
Yeah,
and
sure.
To be able to buy a, you know, top of the range Ducati or a Harley Davidson when I was young. But it's kind of nice, because I say I go to the Ducati dealership, and I'm sure it's the same at Harley Davidson at Farrick or wherever it is you go. But and you take off your helmet in there and with all the other guys there, and everyone's like in their 50s and 60s, because that's the only people that can afford these bloody machines. Yeah,
yeah, that's the truth of it, though, isn't it? And that's exactly why it took me a while to get back to Harleys, because it was the cost, really, more than anything. Prior to that, I wanted them, but it was just out of my reach, and that's what you say. And a lot of these bikes now, that's what Trevor was saying earlier and asking the question about the born-agains. The born-agains, the ones that have had passed their test, and I had a lot of people that would have passed their test in 1982 and not ridden on a Vespa, and not ridden since, and they've technically got a full license, and then come and buy a sports bike, or a top of the range bike, and you think, I've got it bears no relevance to what you last owned, no relevance, but you technically, legally, could get and ride it from the shop as long as you're insured and taxed.
Yeah.
And that's quite a scary thing. And if you've got any sense, you wouldn't do that, but technically, legally, you can do it.
What could they do with it? No, it'd be a totally different experience. It's more your own reactions, Trev. Yeah. It's yourself that's changed more, because the bikes are safer.
The technology, Wayne, that you've got on your bike,
it's honestly mental.
Does it make you feel safe?
Yes, because I'm not being funny. I know when I've been out on it, because I'm a fair weather rider. I only go out when the sun's shining, and I know it's going to keep shining. Mostly because I hate cleaning more than anything else. But and with a Harley Davidson, you'll understand that, John. But But when I'm going around some bends, you know, and I'm not great, if I'm being honest. I'm waiting for Trevor's quip here, but. It's when I'm going around
a big tub of lard to take around a corner.
We could have rephrased that a little bit, bit better, but
you're not exactly the most spilt guy to take a corner.
but I know there's been occasions when I've been over things that would have normally I would have slid a little bit or something, and it hasn't done it, and it's quite weird, because I think, look how great I am. You could think that. You could think, look how great I am. But it's not. It's the bike doing it. It's got a computer in there that's actually working out what angle I'm at, how fast I'm going, how to let the wheel. It's absolutely mental what you say. It sounds like
you're riding Street Hawk, Wayne. Where you're,
in fact, as we spoke about in a previous thing, I think that's what I am. I'm even doing the music as I'm riding along to Street Hawk. Yeah. but you know, they are, at the end of the day, they are great fun, you know. And are you a member of any motorcycle clubs, John?
I'm a bit of an oddball like that. I'm what they call, I'm an anti-badge wearer, and and what I mean by that is I don't
do
the club thing.
John, that term's very good.
I like to be. I'm a bit of an oddball. I like what I like, really, and whether that conforms or not, I just don't care. And so I don't run the clubs. When we go out for rides, I ride with one of my mates, a good mate of mine's got literally a 1948 Indian.
Oh, lovely.
One of them's got a flat track, the new flat track Indian. One of them's got a Triumph. One of my mates got a Ducati multi-strike. There's all different.
Nice.
And I don't, you know, you get these elitist things, and I don't like the elitist things.
Yeah.
You get the same in all the groups. You get the same in, you get Harley Davidson, you get the snobbery sometimes with some people, a bit like BMW, Ducati, which is not me.
Everything.
It's not me. Yeah. Yeah. It's not me. I don't like that. I like to break the mold. I don't like to be like that. So I don't belong to clubs per se. I go out with mates and things, and I like all different bikes, but no, I'm definitely not a badge wearer.
John, those bikes you mentioned your mates have got, sound like quite classic bikes. Has no one really got any newer bikes that you...
The 1940, yeah, you're right. The 1948 Indian is a 1948 Indian. And it is, you'd love this, so Wayne. It's right hand, left hand throttle, foot clutch, right hand suicide shift, gear change by hand.
Wow.
So it, yeah. But
have you had a go?
But the, sorry?
Have you had a go on it?
No, I haven't yet. Yeah. I you know what? I'd love to, but it's, you know, that bike is probably best part of 35K now.
Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah.
It's what we're saying, though, isn't it? It's exactly what we were saying.
But, that's it. But everything John just said there, I didn't understand a word of it, by the way.
That was, foreign language, I know.
Clutch this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what did you just say then?
But they are. There's some guys with some classic bikes and another guy with a 1940 Harley, but there's a lot of people, like the other mate's got a brand new flat track Indian, a bit like, I think his name now, did the speed record. Guy Martin.
Oh, Guy Martin, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like Guy Martin Road. It's the sort of new version of that. So there's new bikes involved as well. So we like a little bit of everything.
There's a bit of retro now, John, isn't there? Yeah. Where a lot of newer bikes are styled like old bobbers and things like that. That's a big thing now. Retro looking motorbikes, the technology of the modern bikes.
Definitely. I mean, you know, Wayne, the time we grew up in and looking back at the Kawasaki Zeds and all the ones that stuck out. And you got your films, didn't you? Like Mad Max and Punch-Up and all them. And it's like, wow, that is appealing. So, and that's what they've done. They've gone, I'll tell you what, we're redesigned for all the people like us and we'll make it with modern technology so they actually stop now and they go better and you can go around the corner on them. It's a big market
for it. You've got the best of both worlds, really, John.
Retro's always cool, isn't it? So, and tell you, talking of cool, I think it's that time of the week or the podcast where we test the guest. And don't be alarmed, John, because if you've heard the podcast before,
John's got this.
I've done it differently. It's not
that. I can tell.
If I was asking, what's the two-stroke Yamaha in the 80s that took the world by storm, he'd know what I'm talking about. But these questions are not like that. These are more technical ones to give you both a bit of a chance.
Am I having a go at this as well then?
Yeah, you have a go as well, Trev, because I don't like to leave you out. You cried last week when I left you out. Don't be alarmed at our new jingle, John, but this is just to introduce this segment. Test the guest. So that, if you hadn't a guest, it's called Test the Guest. Yeah.
That's very nice. That's got me right at ease, that is, Wayne.
I'm surprised it hasn't freaked people out, actually.
It hasn't been out there yet, unfortunately. When it is, it probably will be. Especially if you've got headphones on. But first question to John, seeing as he's the guest. And so when was the first internal combustion motorcycle fueled by petrol invented? And you've got multiple choices. And it's 1885, 1900, or 1915.
Okay, I would say
1885. Well done.
Check him out.
Hit it right. He hit it right. That's a good guess. That's a good answer.
Confidence in him.
See, I've not gone the obvious route with this. I know it's much more tougher than the normal ones about the Magnavox, whatever it is in arcade machines.
That was a good one.
Question for you, number two. In 1894, which model, you should remember this, in 1894, which model became the first series production motorcycle in the world? Was it A, Orion Aster, B, Hildebrand and Wolfmuller, or C, Peugeot motorcycles? First production motorcycle. Orion Aster.
I like the sound of the German one.
Hildebrand
really
and Wolfmuller.
The German one.
Yeah. What, B?
Exactly, yeah. I've not said it yet.
Oh, right, he hasn't said it yet.
B. No.
He's changed. Oh, funny that. Right. I always said go with your gut. You see, I messed it. That was my fault. Technical error.
Oh, yeah. I went with my lederhosen.
Question three to John. In a motorcycle, the rotational force generated by the crankshaft is transmitted to which part? Is it the front wheel, the engine, or the rear wheel? I think you'll get this.
The rear wheel.
To be honest, John, I hadn't looked ahead of these questions. If I'd realised that one was in there, I think I would have left that one out. I think even Trev might have got that. Would you have got that, Trev? Yeah.
I did get that one, yes.
Well, question four to you. Question four.
I'll bet you a good one.
To you, Trev. Yeah, you'll get a good one now. Which company has been the largest motorcycle manufacturer in the world since 1959, with around 400 million models in production by the end of 2019?
Do I get my choice, or do I just get dropped in?
I just want you just to have a guess to see if you knew any motorcycle manufacturers. A, it could be Yamaha. B, it could be Honda. Or C, it could be Suzuki. Think of the obvious. Well.
Yamaha.
Do you want to have a go, John?
That was the obvious one.
I would have said Honda.
Oh, there's no bonus points, but just for being flash, it's, you know, it's Honda. Honda at that sust.
Yeah. What did you say it was obvious, White?
No, I didn't say it's obvious. It's not obvious, obviously, to somebody who's not even into motorbike. But what I mean is that if you're into motorbike, you know that Honda really have had that sewn up for a long time. The others have copied it more, haven't they?
Right. Yeah.
Question five to John. The motorcycle manufacturer, Harley, this is one for you, Harley Davidson, is based in which US state? Oh, my God. Do you want to have to get the answers, John, or do you want to just go for it?
What, Milwaukee, you mean?
Is that what state? Not the...
go on, go.
Multiple choice.
Go for an old thing.
Yeah, Missouri,
go for an old thing.
New Mexico, or Wisconsin?
A.
Missouri.
Yeah, is that what you said? Missouri? Is that what you said?
Missouri is A, B's New Mexico, C is Wisconsin.
That's Wisconsin then.
Yes.
Johnny's making me look really stupid.
I'm sort of engineering it that way. But
I feel like I'm being gagged up.
I'm going to give you a little bonus. Trev, you're only a little shoeing with this, but I'm going to give you question six, just, you know, even though times are running, we're going to give you question six just so you can redeem yourself. Okay. Which of the following is a British motorcycle brand? If you don't get this, you're going to get slapped. So... is it A, Indian, B, Triumph, or C, Royal Enfield?
Triumph.
Here he goes.
What? Wasn't the other one's not English then? Royal Enfield.
Indian?
They're English, aren't they? Royal Enfield. What's Royal Enfield?
It was
initially English, but it's made in India.
Yeah.
Really? Oh no, I'll never have got.
Yeah.
And I think Indian was made in India, and then it's English, and then it's Indian, and it.
I thought it was English, but then I don't know anything about.
Unfortunately, these answers don't elaborate. So usually, when I give you a bit of background into the answer, I can't really give you any because I haven't. This one doesn't give us that background. But anyway, you know, it's a little bit we learned there. John's got 3 out of 3, so that's a good showing. That's one of the best we've had, isn't it? Yeah. So, well done.
Yeah, he is the best we've had. Yeah. So, well done, John.
So,
thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Trev, you got any summarising questions for John?
Well, no, just about to say, it does seem like a middle-aged thing to get back on your bike, doesn't it? It does seem, say it's a kind of midlife crisis kind of thing, but it does seem like it's a thing to do when you are of a certain age. I think,
To
sum it up, it is
Full stop. I mean, it does, but you've only got to remember that film Wild Hogs, Trevor, haven't you, really?
Oh, yes, I've seen that, exactly.
Martin Lawrence and William H. Macy and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, John. Now he said and all that lot, Go on then, Mr. Smart.
And now it's time to finish for this week. And we've run out of time, unfortunately.
You've got two of them.
This isn't a movie one, Trev.
I don't care.
John Travolta and Tim Allen, Buzz Lightyear, whatever his name is. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, see, I do know. Don't care. I'd have to take the pressure off. But thanks for that, Trev. He's so nice to me, isn't he? But John can see what you're like now. Thanks very much for that, John. I think you've hopefully given people who are thinking of taking up bikes again, especially born again ones, confidence to do that and what they should be doing in order to do it safely. Is there any final words you'd like to say to anyone who's thinking of getting back on the bike?
No, I mean, thanks for the opportunity to come on the podcast. I'm glad it seems to be doing well.
Done brilliantly.
I'd just like to say to people, be safe if you're going to do it. Think about the safety aspect. Think about what you're wearing. Get a bit of training. And if you've got the money, go and do Route 66, boys.
Lovely. Thanks for that, John. Brilliant. Thank you for joining us today.
That's great.
Cheers.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, that was a really enlightening interview, Trev. I really enjoyed. Well, I've definitely got something on my bucket list now. I want to go on the Route 66 across America. What do you think?
I knew you'd say that. I knew that would tantalise your old biking haunts. To be honest, I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, John obviously knows a lot about that kind of stuff. You can tell, obviously, that the safety issues are a big thing for him because he had the school.
Yeah.
And I think, I've mentioned as well, that I think when you do get a bit older, your kind of bottle does go a bit. So to get those sort of safety measures sorted again is a good thing.
Definitely.
You know, I believe in that because it is, you know, the roads are dangerous, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. And it gets worse every year passes by.
Exactly. If you want to enjoy that kind of lifestyle, you've got to take that into consideration. But Harleys and those bikes, those kind very of cool. Old school, they're just cool, full stop. They just look cool. And when you walk past them, when you, you know, see people on them, you just think, it gives you, as John said, it gives you a sense of freedom, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The wind in your hair, or with us, the wind in the little bit of hair. I can see why you get so much enjoyment out of it.
Well, because I can put the helmet on and hide that little bit of hair.
Exactly, you're right.
Well done,
but
man.
I think for me, really, now the time's gone to do it. As much as I'd love to.
Yeah. You can't be a born again because you've never been born to it, have you? So
exactly. No, this is it.
It's just, you do look like a biker, again, more than I do.
It's so weird, the music I like and stuff. You just think that it would go hand in hand. And, you know, I toyed with it and thought about it. But as I think I've said before, I'm very clumsy and stuff, and I'm aware of the fairies half the time. I don't mean like in different nightclubs on a Wednesday night.
Clary's pulled.
I am, and so I, you know, even when I was mountain biking and cycling a lot in my younger days, I was always having accidents and coming off them because basically I just didn't pay enough attention. And with that
you have to be so focused, Trev.
Between your legs, mate. That just, you know, I did try to tempt you out.
Yeah, I know. But you are right. A crotch rocket in somebody's hands who doesn't want to pay that kind of real focus you have to. It tires me out when I get back. I mean, most people go out on a motorcycle on a Sunday morning to chill out. I come back stressed, because I'm so focused on being safe, you know. But one person pulling out, and I've had people I know that have succumbed to the poor driving of others. It's dangerous, but the lifestyle is very cool, and I love it. But I don't want to be riding a bike every day. I just want to be pulling it out of the garage, making me feel happy, polishing it and putting it back.
Everybody I know that has got a motorbike, not many of them ride them to work every day stuff. It is sort of something you take out your garage when you want to let loose, you want to forget about things and ride, you know.
And if you do not wear them polite green vests that say polite on the back, look like police. You look like a complete tool if you want to look like a policeman. But as honestly, this is well known in biking fraternity. These guys that ride around in the middle of the traffic jams in the morning and they've got like a high-vis vest on and it says polite in checkered black and white and you think it's police. But basically, they're just saying polite, give me space. And it's so sad. Do not wear that stuff. So that's just my little tip for motorcycling. Even if you just do not wear
them vests. Wear right. good levers, look cool, and enjoy your motorcycling.
I was going to go out in one of them at the weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say I'll buy you one for Christmas, and I'd love to see you walking around and you're getting caned by all the bikers.
With nothing else, just my pants.
Well, you've done worse. Let's be honest. Come on,
what an absolute treat for the ladies. That
exactly. We'll put that up on the website.
Luminous vest.
So I think that sums up this podcast all about motorbikes. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've got any questions about it, we can pass on to John. As always, please visit the website www.amlopodcast.com, and if you're kind enough to leave us a review or give us some grief, whatever you want to do, please do that as well. Any last words, Trev? Not literally.
Not at all. No, which I would do if I was on a bike. Brilliant. Loved it. Really, really good. Interesting. You know, get it on the highway.
That's lovely. Awesome. Yeah, let's sing again. Lovely. Thanks, Trev, and we'll see you on the next one. Cheers, bye-bye. Everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please leave a rating and review and visit our website at www.amlopodcast.com to check out all the links and resources in the show notes. Start living them good times. See you next time.